When you hear the word mercy, maybe there's a few things that come to mind. For me, there's a few images that come to mind when I think of the word mercy. These are two of them. The one on your left-hand side is often when I think of the word mercy, I think of a Southern Baptist church service, and I think of a woman saying, "Lord, have mercy." Right? That whole, "Oh, Lord, bless us. Lord, have mercy." Right? I think of that, and I'm encouraged by that. It brings a smile to my face. When we were down in Alabama doing a missions trip, there was, and I was able to go along with one of the coordinators for MDS to see which locations we would go to. And a couple of places we went were just amazing because the guy says, "You know what, just listen to their story." You know, like, it just, you know, especially this one old woman. And she just went on and on about how, you know, when she was explaining the fact of the hurricane, when the hurricane hit, and "Lord have mercy, the rain came down and it came through her walls, but Lord have mercy." And she just went, she was so animated, the whole discussion. And when we got back in the truck, all that the MDS leader leaned over and said, "Fun, hey?" And I was like, "Yeah, that was a lot of fun," just to see her excitement. So that whole, "Lord have mercy," that whole crying out to God. The other one, which is more of a negative thing about, and no, this is not any of my personal photos or anything like that, of the schoolyard bully. Maybe you've been the recipient, or maybe you've been the giver of this. Not so much for me on the schoolyard. Gretna was a very safe place to grow up and go to school. But the suffering the wrath of my brother at times, you know, pinning me down, either punching me or threatening me until I'd say mercy, say mercy, say mercy, until finally they're like, "Mercy, mercy." And sometimes mercy came and sometimes it didn't. But those are some images that I have of this term mercy. And mercy is what I want to be focusing in on today. So first off, what is mercy and why do we need it from the Lord? Well, on the back of the bulletin, this is pretty rare. I'm following some good advice, although he never said it to me, but, you know, the notes in the back that Pastor Ryan gives, I even have notes on the back of the bulletin today, which is something unique for me, so a little different spin today. So you can follow along there if you'd like. Again, I'm going to give you a couple of definitions, so don't bother writing these down yet if you want to kind of fill in the blanks properly, at least. So, but mercy. Vine's Expository Dictionary says that mercy is the outward manifestation of pity. Okay, don't bother writing that in there yet, because I'm going to kind of sum these up. So it says it's the outward manifestation of pity. It's pretty big language, but basically meaning that it's our outward act if we have pity on someone or something. It also means the compassion for the ills of others, okay, so that we have compassion for other people that are struggling. The English dictionary kind of points out a couple of other ones as well. It says, it is the kind or forgiving treatment of someone who could be treated harshly, or the kindness or help given to people who are in a very bad or desperate situation. So mercy seems to involve two different things. One, it needs someone that needs mercy. They're in a desperate, bad situation. They need help. Okay, so in order for mercy to happen, that has to be there. The second thing that has to happen for mercy to occur is someone has to be able or willing to actually give it. Okay, so you need someone who's in need. You need somebody who can give it. So when I think of mercy, my definition, again, after kind of summing some of that up, would read more like this. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Now, that's not an all-inclusive definition. Okay, because sometimes we're in a situation where maybe it's just circumstances around us and we don't deserve, you know, the things that are going on that are wrong. So this is this is one branch of what that definition could be. But today I want to focus in on this part. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. And what I did is I purposely looked for a photo that kind of looked like a prison cell and prison bars in the back. Because for me, that's the image that comes to mind. If a person is shown mercy, let's say, for example, a person has committed a crime, they're guilty of the crime, they've been caught, they've gone through the court system, they're guilty of the crime. And let's say, for example, they've been given a one-year prison sentence. But the judge can decide, or sometimes the jury can decide, whether they want to show mercy. And so they may say, you know what, you only need to serve 6 months, 2 months, maybe even go free, all right? that's showing mercy, not getting what we deserve. I'm not going to be talking today about grace. Grace is different. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. That's a whole other sermon. Today we're going to stay with mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Now, you may be thinking of a time in your life in which you were shown mercy. I remember being, I think, roughly 10 years old or so, downstairs playing hockey, which I did usually for hours on end. I like to think that I'm in pretty good physical shape, but when I walk stairs, you can hear both of my knees. It sounds like there's gravel in my knees, but they don't hurt at all. It's all fine. But I attested back to years, and I do mean years, of shooting a little rubber ball up against a concrete wall. And when the ball came back, I became a goalie, and I would drop all the way down from a standing position down on my concrete floor, down on the concrete floor, and I'd make a save or try to make a save. And I had big tournaments. I had all my hockey cards, and this player against this player would shoot against this goalie, and it's this great big map, and it took me hours to do. Most of my Saturdays were at least the whole morning and part of the afternoon. This was a big event. So, and this happened for a long time. So I really enjoyed it. And in the midst of playing that, one time, either I didn't make a save I wanted to make, or maybe I didn't get a goal I wanted to score against myself. So I was the only one to blame on both sides of this. But I remember taking the stick, and there was a spare kitchen chair. It wasn't even the kitchen chairs we used at the time. It was an older kitchen chair. And I remember taking my stick, and I slammed it on top of that chair. Now, that chair had a covering of vinyl. A little bit of foam, the vinyl covering, and it broke the vinyl. So I slam it on the... I realized, oh no, now it's cracked, now it's broken. And I felt so guilty. Now, I'd like to think that I was a great son and I confessed it to my mom. I think I did. I don't even remember if I did or not, but my mom found out. And I was guilty, right? I deserved punishment. Now, back in the day, yes, that would have been either a spanking or something, but my mom showed me mercy, and she didn't punish me. There's no big lecture. There's no spanking. There's no nothing. It's okay. And I remember thinking, well, it's okay. I mean, I'm completely to blame on this. This is all my fault, and I wrecked something, even though we didn't use it a lot. But I was shown mercy for this. And I remember, a lot of years later, I still remember that story of how my mom showed me mercy. So a question for you is, I don't need to know the story, but maybe you're thinking of an incident in your life in which you were shown mercy. What I'd love to do is I'd love you to be able to share, and I do mean it. You can actually talk out loud and share it. What are some emotions that went through your mind or that you experienced when you were shown mercy? Anyone willing to share? What were some emotions? Sorry? Relief, you bet. Shock. Mm-hmm. Others. Confused? Yeah. Why? Yeah. There's probably sense of happiness as well and joy. Ah, amazement, shock. What? What do you mean, mercy? You know, I'm deserving of this punishment. Like how? And so we go through all kinds of different feelings when someone has shown us mercy. And I want us to take a look at this story that was just read and just point out a couple of examples of mercy that was shown. Now, this is a direction you may not have assumed that we would go with this sermon. And I'm not going to be picking this passage apart. We're actually going to look at a lot of other scripture passages yet that deal with mercy. But I wanted this passage to be read for two reasons. One, because it shows the mercy that Jesus showed his disciples. And also, Pastor Randy and I were talking about of maybe picking another passage of Scripture that fit in between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension. Now, Pastor Randy did that last week by pointing to the story of Peter being reinstated. And this is another story. So there's not a lot of stories. There's not a lot recorded during that time. But this is one of them, of Jesus appearing in his resurrected form. He appears to the disciples. We're not going to bother reading through it again. But as we look at this story, imagine the thoughts, imagine the emotions that the disciples would have had when they saw Jesus Christ. Now, we have two emotions that are listed. I believe it's in verse 41. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, okay? There's that amazement, that shock, that surprise. There's also the joy. So they are excited to see him. There's that component. Now, we don't know the other emotions that they would have been feeling. But as you well know, I have a very vivid imagination. So if I put myself in that situation, I think part of me would have been thrilled and excited to see my good friend Jesus. But I think there would have been an element of fear as well. And why? Well, let's take a look at I'm just going to mention two reasons why Jesus could have reacted harshly. And one of those reasons is because the disciples had all left him. The disciples all left him in his darkest hour. Right? Yes, you know, John and Peter did go to the courtyard to try to hear the trial and so on. But Jesus went through that whole trial and the crucifixion essentially by himself. There were a few other people around, but there's no record of his disciples coming alongside to offer support and comfort and so on during that time. The human side of me says, boy, if I would have shown up and my whole group of friends had abandoned me and now the first time I show up to them, I'm thinking I would be tempted to have a little bit of a sermon with them. I can't believe it. I've poured myself into you guys for 3 years and this is what I get back? My darkest hour and you guys just all leave? But he doesn't do that. They were deserving of that, but he doesn't do that. He shows them mercy. And he shows them understanding, care, and love. The second factor that I look at is that even when he appeared to them, they still doubted. Now, again, he could have punished them for that. He could have been like, really, guys? Like, I'm right here. But he took a loving approach to them. He says, look, I'm here. I'm not a ghost. Now, we don't talk a lot about ghost stuff, but within the Jewish culture, yes, some of them did believe that, especially the spirit before it would have necessarily left this world, would it have appeared as a ghost and so on? So there's very common beliefs that the spirits were around as in ghost form. So he's trying to clear that up for them, to say, look, I'm not a ghost. Go ahead, touch, feel my hands, my feet. And then he even pushes that even farther to prove the point, all right, fine. Do you guys have something to eat? Don't think he would have necessarily needed to eat, but he did. Again, just to kind of prove this point, it's really me, flesh and blood. I'm right here. He was willing to reveal himself to them at a level that they understood. Now, I don't know where you're at right now in your walk with God. Maybe you're struggling right now, feeling that your prayers feel like they're hitting the ceiling and they're bouncing right back at you. Maybe you're at a point in which you're wanting to seek God's direction, but you just don't know where it is, or you just don't know which way to turn. I want you to be encouraged today and assured that God is with you. His word says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. He is with you. And he's wanting to be understood by you as well. Perhaps the issue for us sometimes is that we're not able or willing to see it. We're so caught up in our issue, whatever it is, that we don't see how God is moving around us, how God has and is maybe moving in our own lives or in the lives of others around us. You know what? The actions of God are all around. But are you willing to see that? And sometimes, I mean, our human nature distracts us from that, right? We get so wrapped up in our problems. But I want to encourage you, God is at work. Now, Jesus could have also been very critical of Peter. And Pastor Randy touched on that last time, so we're not going to bother even going there. But he could have been very critical of Peter, for Peter even denying that he even knew him, and yet Jesus lovingly reinstates him. Peter, you are that rock, you are the church, or we will build the church on you and on your teaching and so on. So he lovingly comes alongside. He shows the disciples mercy, not just now, but throughout his entire time with them. He's always shown them mercy. So I want us today to take a look at a number of different scripture passages that are going to emphasize mercy. I'm going to be putting them up on the screen. If you want to take notes in the back, you can jot them down. There's going to be quite a few of them. And three topics that I want to look at. Why should God show us mercy? Secondly, what does God desire from us in this regard? So does God desire us to show mercy? And then lastly, what is the reward if we do? So the first part of that is, why should God show us mercy? Well, God should show us mercy because it's in his nature. Okay? So, it's just part of who God is. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. is the passage that I want to emphasize for that. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Now, we often point to the last part of that. It is by grace you've been saved. And that's an amazing verse, or portion of this verse. But today I want to focus on the first part, and not the last part as much. It's because of God's great love for us. Why should God show us mercy? Because it's part of his nature. It's who he is. When you read scripture, you'll find that mercy is many times attached with the word love, and God is love. Mercy is a component of that love as well. God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in transgressions, meaning even when we are still sinners, God loves us. And he loves us, and because of that love, that's why he shows us this mercy. Another passage that points to this is Titus 3, verse 5. He saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. Right? We are saved because of God's mercy, not because of the things that we've done. Scripture is clear. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the penalty of sin is death. Okay? That is the penalty. So that, we've all sinned. So we are all guilty. So what is the just thing that should happen? We should all be dead, right? The penalty of sin is death. The fact that I'm standing here alive and breathing and that you're here listening is all entirely on God's mercy, because we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Now, that may sound harsh, but you know what? But that's the reality. We've all sinned, and yet God shows us mercy. My parents have shared with me numerous times that in the culture, when I say culture, yes, their area, and also within their families, they were taught that you can't know that you were saved. You just live your life as best you can. And to be honest, some of our Mennonite background points to some of that. Again, when I say Mennonite now, I'm talking some of that, you know, southern Manitoba, maybe even Mexican, that type of approach, not the true Anabaptist, but, you know, some of our culture is one in which just try your best, just be a good person, be a good person, be a good person. You know what? But if that's all it is, you can always point to someone who's worse than you, and you can always point to someone who's better than you. If you're going to base this on works, right? Depending on your mood, you can always make yourself feel rotten because you're not as good as so-and-so, or better because, you know, I'm better than that person. But that's not it. You know, we are saved because of God's mercy for us. So that's why should God show us mercy? Because it's in his nature. It's who he is. So what does he desire from us? A number of things, specifically towards mercy. One of them is Colossians 3:13. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, I realize that this may be very difficult, and it may take time because we are all human. So be patient and allow God to do his work. We are supposed to forgive others as God has forgiven us. And how has he forgiven us? He's forgiven us unconditionally. Oh, yes, he does say, I forgive you. I want you to believe in me and to accept him as Lord and Savior. But there's no other strings attached to it. And there isn't a degree to say, oh, you've done too many sins. Not, sorry, you don't qualify anymore. No, God says, I forgive you. And we need to forgive others as well. And forgiveness is a huge part of showing mercy. On this point, I jotted down in my notes here, but allow God to do his work, as forgiveness and mercy, they are not common human traits. Those are godly traits. Those aren't human traits. Our sinful nature does not want to forgive, does it? We want to get even. How dare they do that to me? You know what? I'll show them. Right? That's our human nature. Oh, Mark, but you don't understand what this person has done to me, how they've wronged me, how they've offended me, how they've hurt me. No, you're right. I don't know. But that's really not the point. The point is that God forgave us of all of our sin, and he forgave us completely. Not just a little bit. He forgave all of it. That can be extremely difficult for us to do. So, if we truly want to show mercy and we want to have this godly trait, we need to allow God to be the one to work in our lives to bring that about. Another passage is Matthew 9:13. Just that middle section is what I want to focus in on. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Now, that's actually a quote from Hosea 6:6. Now, yes, back in the Old Testament, did God want sacrifice? Yes, he did. I mean, because he did say that he wanted the people, again, it was a thing of atonement, of forgiveness. So the Old Testament model was one in which there was sacrifice. But again, that pointed and that was abolished or cleared or completed when Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. He was the ultimate sacrifice. But even in the midst of Old Testament times of all the sacrifice, God said, I still want mercy. See, the Pharisees loved to be able to point to the fact of, no, follow all these rigid guidelines and rules. You do this. And yet Jesus shows up on the scene and preaches radical change to say, actually, you should be living according to mercy, not according to all these rules and guidelines and so on. You should be merciful. We should base ourselves on love because that's who God is. James 2 is another passage. I apologize, I didn't put it up on the screen here. James 2, verses 12 to 13. Okay, so the passage on the screen is James 2, 12 to 13. It says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And a couple of points on this one. Jesus preached about this law that gave freedom. Again, this is one that saw love as the basis for our actions and not a rigid set of rules and regulations like the Pharisees taught. So Jesus slides in and says, you know what? Yes, will we all be judged? Yes, we will. But this is judged by a law that gives freedom. As being a follower of Jesus Christ, you have freedom in that. A lot of people will say, well, it's part of the reason why I don't like religion or I don't want to have a relationship with God because there's all these rules and regulations. Hold it. The reality is that there's a lot of freedom. And because we want to worship and live for God, it gives us freedom that, yes, we are supposed to live right and act right. But that should be an outpouring of our relationship with God, not because it's dictated. It's because of a relationship. The reality is, and the middle portion of that is one you probably haven't heard a whole lot of sermons about, and it speaks of the fact that because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Let that sink in a little bit. Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. That's a pretty harsh statement. In other words, you're not showing mercy? Well, mercy isn't going to be shown to you either. What? Hold it, but I thought you just said that God loves us, and yes, he does. But you know what? That whole theme is one that comes out in some other passages, and I didn't put them up on the screen, but just a paraphrase of Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15 basically says, if you forgive men, your heavenly Father will forgive you, right? That onus that says, yeah, God the Father will forgive. We also need to forgive others. Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2 talk about judge no one, so that you won't be judged, and the measure that you use will be used against you. I got to admit, I'm a little uncomfortable with some of these verses. It puts some responsibility on us to say, okay, so God wants to be merciful to you, but you better be merciful to others as well. So there's an assignment there. So what does God desire from us? He desires that we need to forgive as he forgave us. He desires mercy, so therefore we should be merciful to others. And we need to speak and act in a way that is merciful as well. So then what is the reward? Matthew 5 verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. One of the Beatitudes. Again, is this that whole theme of what goes around comes around? Well, just because you're merciful to someone else doesn't mean that they're going to extend mercy back to you. But the Word of God says clearly, you will be blessed. Now, I'm not going to get into what that blessing is. I'm going to leave that with God. We're not going to go into that health and wealth and prosperity thing. No, we're basically just going to say, you know what? It's up to God how God blesses. So I'm not going to dictate what that is. But we will be blessed if we show mercy. And the flip side, or the additional point to that is, they will also be shown mercy. That piggybacks on the verse that we just shared earlier, right? Because we're merciful, we will be shown mercy as well. Now, again, you may argue the fact, You may say, but Mark, you have no idea what someone has done to me. And like I said before, you know what, that's just not the point. Mercy and forgiveness should draw no lines. God doesn't say to us, oh, Mark, because you did that one sin and I told you not to, I'll be merciful and forgive the rest, but not that one. He doesn't do that. He says, I do forgive you. Being merciful and being forgiving of others can be extremely difficult. But one of the other rewards found in Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy, and if you have the NIV, it may say love instead of mercy, again, which is interesting because the love and mercy thing sometimes are interchangeable or they run side by side, they run parallel. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Right? That doesn't mean to say that your life is going to be perfect or without problems, but God will bless the fact that if we are merciful. Now, Jesus has shown us an incredible amount of mercy, both to his disciples in that story that Mark read earlier for us, and he continues to show incredible amounts of mercy to you and to me as well. So the application, how can you apply some of this? Well, first off, a question. Is mercy evident in your life? Right? Is mercy evident in your life? Our willingness to be merciful instead of judgmental is one of the most powerful evidence of Christ in our lives and a testimony to others. Just think of the people that you're friends with. Those people that you look at and you say, boy, you know what? Come to think of it, I hardly ever hear this person being really critical and judgmental. They're really merciful. It's an amazing testimony. And it also shows that God is real and alive in their lives. So the application here, obviously, is one in which I'm challenging you to show mercy. How can we make improvements to be more merciful? And again, I want to put up this passage from the end of James 2:13. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let that sink in. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Aren't you thankful it doesn't go the other way? Have you ever thought of that? What if this verse said the opposite? Judgment triumphs over mercy. Whew. Good thing it doesn't. Oh, well, we want things to be fair in our lives. No, we don't. Right? You really want God to be fair with you? You've sinned and you're worthy of death. You actually want God to be fair with you. No. God is merciful. Right? If that passage read the other way around, we'd all be in a heap of trouble. Judgment triumphs over mercy. No. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And as such, I want to challenge you. Check your attitude towards others. Especially those that wrong you, that disappoint you, that frustrate and anger you. Are you quick to blame them, to judge them, and to hold a grudge? It's not godly. I know it's hard not to do because of our human nature. But we need to give that over to God. So if you're carrying a burden of holding a grudge, of just not being forgiving to someone, I want to challenge you, leave it at the foot of the cross today. And it may be a process. Your emotions may not follow what your logic tells you. But logic should be telling you right now, I want to believe the word of God that says mercy triumphs over judgment. If you want to be that person, you have to make a willful choice for that to actually happen. What about when you're in a discussion with someone and the tone of that discussion is somewhat judgmental? Okay, maybe they're talking about a situation or a person, and that person isn't there, and they're judgmental about it. Oh, I just can't believe that person does this, this, and this. That gets me so angry. What do you do? Do you have a tendency to jump into that conversation? Man, no kidding. The other day, they did this to me as well. Now, I got to admit, I struggle with this. I really do. I struggle with the fact of, man, I've got all these ideas, and if other people don't buy into the ideas, well, why can't they see that? Oh, it just bugs me that they can't see that. There's all these great things, and I've got all these answers. I've got all these, oh, right? Because what does it do? It does so much damage. What is done behind someone's back can be just as detrimental as something that's done face to face. Oh, that person may never know that you slammed them over here. Now, they may find out. And yes, that should be reason enough not to do it. But many times they'll never find out. But what about that testimony? What about my testimony with that group? that I'm talking with, when I'm super judgmental on something, what does it say about me and my character and my walk with God? It doesn't show them that I'm merciful. It shows them that I'm highly critical and I'm judgmental. It can be very damaging to our testimony. And God wants us to be merciful. So the last point I want to make is ask God to help you to become more merciful. Remember, showing mercy is an attribute of God's, and it's not one that comes naturally to us. Let's admit it, it is not natural to show mercy. But we should practice it, because it is a godly attribute, just like the fruits of the Spirit and so on. Those are attributes that we should be aspiring to. Being merciful is something that we should aspire to. Now, again, you're going to have to get that image out of your mind of that bully, right, and stuff. Maybe you need to clear that out of your mind, because you may say to yourself, oh, I don't see myself as being mean like that. Yeah, but again, are you judgmental in your thought process? Are you negative? Or are you willing to give that person that second, third, fourth, fifth chance? Now, yes, sometimes we need to put some parameters around that, and we need to be smart and wise. But you know what? Mercy triumphs over judgment. May we be a people in which we truly are living this out, that mercy triumphs over judgment. Because if so, I think then we are truly reflecting God. Let's pray. Dear God, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you, Jesus, that in your life when you walked here on this earth, you showed mercy to the disciples. It would have made complete sense to me on a human side for you to be angry with them and for you to punish them for some of their doubt and their unbelief and for leaving you and so on. But you didn't do that. You showed them mercy, and I want to thank you for that. Because God, for you to be merciful about those things, wow, how much more should I not be merciful about the things when someone has wronged me or disappointed me? Forgive me, Lord, forgive us as a body of believers when we are so quick to be judgmental. Help us rather to rush to be merciful and to be gracious and to be loving and kind. Because those are your attributes, God. So Holy Spirit, continue to move in our lives to show us areas and times and situations in which we need to give it over to you, in which we need to walk in a way that shows mercy. Because when we do, it reflects your love. Thank you, Lord, for being merciful for us and towards us. Help us to be merciful towards others. We pray this in your name. Amen.